I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty you, real.
He is terrible!
We gotta know how many wieners are going down these two stones.
I'm gonna go quick, because I don't give a fuck about anything that's gonna happen on Saturday.
Hello, boys! It's the hot, hot summer. It's a fun time. We're coming off a pay-per-view. We're back with another edition of the MMA Analysis Podcast. We're back with the usual suspects. I think Bradley is off this week. We'll shoot up still in Canada. We got Nushon. We got the Kentucky Sodsman as well. He's coming off his one-man band, riffing, ranting machine, post-fight card. He's doing well. Guys, what's going on?
I'm surprised you can even call that a pay-per-view last weekend. Holy fuck.
I'm not gonna make a joke about it.
That was rough. I spent too much money to go to that card, and
did
then
you fall asleep during it?
No. Usually there was some wake me up moments every once in a while, so I didn't fall asleep, but I lost a shit ton of money. I really got to stop betting on cards that I go to. I don't think there's ever been a card I've went to, and I think I've went to probably six or seven cards now, and ever won money. I just get crushed when I go watch fights.
That's interesting. God. That's an interesting line.
The last one we went to, Sean was like sitting on like this massive night, man, and that was the Hail Mary fucking Yair elbow and shit. Oh god. Ugh. It always seems to do it. You always overextend yourself. It's like, man, I'm gonna be in attendance. I'm gonna find something on most of these fights.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it usually doesn't end well.
Nope. But it happened. It was a thing that happened. The Canadian MMA scene is kind of rough as we thought it was. They gave us a little.
Little
tease on the undercard, and then back to reality for the fucking main card.
Yes, it did.
Man, you're not great. Not much else going on in the MMA world. I mean, people are complaining about Rogan being terrible.
He was.
There's a lot of buy orders coming in, but
catching.
Apparently, Vegas is really doing well. It's been a good month. It's been a good month for Vegas when it comes to MMA betting.
And for people who fade shitty fucking Greek people, Greek frauds.
Nushon, rephrase that comment.
Fade the Greek.
Fade the Greek. That's all you need to know.
I love that, like, that shit is already, like, swept across Twitter. Like, it took, like, 2 weeks. Everybody and their mother is, like, fade the Greek. Putting pictures.
I mean, it's pretty easy to just say, hey, the wise guys are on this side. This guy's younger. I'm gonna bet it.
He's literally, like... He's like equating this shit to like stick and ball sports, where it's, he even talks in -110 money lines and shit. It's like betting fighting is not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not.
There's no spreads that are, we don't have -110 spreads. It doesn't work.
Yeah. You're not betting into a market like that and shit, man. It's just not, it's not even close to the same thing. I watched that Hillman fucking that just, absolute horrible gambler fucking Kelly in Vegas sit there.
Wait,
and talk.
Where was she?
She was on his little fucking show that he did to give out fucking UFC picks. Like, they bring on the most know-nothing,
the worst of the worst.
Like, yeah, just bad sports
bettors. They just wanted a female on there, didn't
they? Yeah, just the bad sports bettors overall and just complete tout frauds. But then on top of it, literally – know absolutely nothing about MMA, couldn't break down a fight to save their life.
I mean, I understand Vegas important to the UFC because it's their hometown, but to the rest of the world nowadays, it's totally different. Like so many states now have betting. Like New Jersey now takes in more betting revenue than Nevada does. It's like it's almost like a fallacy now. Like I understand it's like a
sports betting revenue though. There's a very, very big difference there.
Yeah, sports.
And betting. Also he's in Vegas where fucking the UFC is. So it's easy to film that. His shitty ass, give shitty picks. And I mean, I like it. I mean, everybody's complaining that we need real gamblers. This is free fades. You don't even have to pay him for shitty picks. He gives them out for free and then you can fade them. I mean, you got a free unit and a half or two and a half units on Contender Series.
Tuesday went over night. Two. Yep. Yeah, and like I was saying on the main event this last card, they had both of those on there talking about how, like, I think Max wins this fight, but how can you pass up 3-1 on Frankie here? Like, that's just a line I can't pass up. Like, yes, it is a line
very
you can pass
easily.
Up. You can there's
you can pass any line.
There's zero value in a losing fucking ticket, period. Like, if it's going to lose, you're sitting there like, he probably doesn't win this fight, you know. It just blows my mind. And, like, sports betting getting, like, mainstream and legal everywhere, it's, like, fucking horrible because you got all these fucking idiots that don't know jack shit about it. But on the flip side, like you said, Sean, there's fucking free fades all over the place. I mean, that guy fucking McIntyre that's on Fox Sports, dude.
Jason McIntyre.
Oh my God, Clay Travis is literally like Fade Clay. He's been the Fade Clay for like 3 years now. I mean, that show him and Furman do. I mean, Fox Sports is just dripping with sports fades now.
Dude, there's a daily wager show on ESPN now. You should start watching that one, Wes.
They actually bring on Sports Cheat a lot, Preston Johnson.
Yeah,
he knows it. He's a legit.
I've known him a long time. He's a good guy.
Covers. That dude was on covers like 15 fucking years ago, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are legit guys that did the work and learned the game and now incorporate fucking models and numbers into their shit as well. They're not behind the times. Yeah, I respect those guys, man.
Because I can tell you, a Greek gambler doesn't seem like he's incorporated anything into anything. He's just taking buy orders in from Philadelphia and just equating those, saying those guys are sharp. That's his idea.
Well, and another thing, when you talk about like sharp money and smart money and MMA, that's almost an oxymoron,
it's,
man.
It's hilarious. You know what the limits are on these fucking fights?
You
especially cannot, on Contender Series?
Yep, you're not getting down more than maybe fucking a few $1,000s. Even in a casino, if they're laying odds on these Tuesday night fights, you're not getting down more than $4,000 or $5,000 on a fight. It's not fucking happening. This ain't baseball and basketball and shit, man. There is, and then besides what you can get down, there is just not that many like quote unquote smart sharp guys in the MMA, but that the shit is still so small, dude. The whole thing about this guy's just he's changed. This is like his third reiteration, dude. His third different
third name.
Yeah, this guy
Ace.
He's been one of the first fucking fraud fucking touts around this motherfucker, man. It's crazy how this dude is still getting away with it all these years later, man. That's wild. Free fades, though.
It's free fades, and I mean, for us, it really doesn't matter. It's not like we're going to take fucking anything he takes seriously or anything like that. It's just shitty for any idiot that thinks this guy knows that he's what he's talking about and just tails him, but
there's a lot of
learn. I mean, they'll learn one way or the other.
Just look in the mentions, like when Dana tweeted him out Tuesday night, just look in the mentions of all the suckers that are like, hell yeah, I'm going to go get my money down. It's just like, oh my God, bro.
But there's also a ton of guys that are like, this guy is an absolute fraud. What are you doing having this shitty tout on there?
That's all we can do, man, is put it out on Twitter and let motherfuckers know. Hell, we're trying to go the opposite and like, make you some room to fade this fucking guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like Sean said, 2-0 Tuesday night. Hell, last weekend he fucking went 0-2, I believe, as well on the pay-per-view. Got a couple more that we'll talk about on this card that Yeah.
Let's talk about this card this past weekend. UFC 240 in Sean's neck of the woods.
Yes, sir.
Canada. Okay. 12,000 people attended. It started off with Eric Coke going up against Kyle Stewart. And Eric Coke, okay, won the fight in a way that, candidly, I didn't think he was going to win the fight in this way. So that was smart. But there are also people saying that Eric Coke has fought. It was his best performance in years.
Oh, my God.
He looks good at welterweight. Man, I'm gonna ask you guys. We'll keep this short. Is this an easy fade plan, isn't it? Like this is as easy as it gets, right? Next fight, almost whoever it is.
I don't know about whoever. But I mean,
pretty likely.
He's probably not gonna get another level guy of Kyle Stewart's level because he still does have sort of a fighting.
Could there be anybody else who's Kyle Stewart level? Kyle Stewart might be the worst guy in the division.
Yeah, there's not many. He's gonna get a little step up just by name recognition in his next fight. But I mean, I got him here at +145, and that was fucking just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Guys worse in this division are Mike Jackson, Charlie Ward, and CM Punk. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, Stewart is fucking bad, and he still took a round off him on two of the judges' scorecards.
Yeah, I mean, he did look better. His cardio held up. He got hit with some stuff that would have probably knocked him out at 155. So those are all positive things. But Eric Coke isn't back or some shit, or like making some kind of top 10 run. Did you motherfuckers watch that fight? Like, just take your plus money and move on, and hopefully you get some very nice plus money on the other side against him next time. Cause yeah, you're probably right, Jay. Any kind of guy that's a tiny bit better than Kyle Stewart is going to beat Eric Coke.
That's exactly right. Anyway, let's let's move on to Jillian Robertson and Sarah Froda. I mean, Robertson now getting put up to like a real fight now, isn't she?
This is
a little too much, isn't it? Yeah. But Wes, I'll let you start.
She looked decent in that fight. For me, this fight kind of started, I mean, you touched on it before, you know, kind of Rogan's kind of bad night. All you heard in this fight was Froda just doing fucking just incredible shit the whole time while Robertson's reversing and fucking just eating her up on the ground. And, we'll talk about it a little more. He did have a bad night, man, like a really bad night. But I still want Rogan around personally. You know what I'm saying? I think he had a really, really bad night, but I still think Rogan's pretty good for the sport for like, there's, you know, a lot of noob fans that know that Rogan's voice by, you know what I'm saying? They kind of equate the sport with Rogan, and that's a good thing. But as far as like his level of doing his job, it's not good anymore, man. And anybody that says Rogan is literally not falling off bad over the past few years, kidding. It's nostalgia.
Let's break this down a little further, because this is a interesting conversation, and it's coming up. So is it that he doesn't care anymore? That he is rusty?
Yep.
A little
both?
Bit.
One it's of a, each?
It's a, I think that
it's rust from not doing it routinely. Yeah,
he definitely doesn't put in a lick of work anymore. Like, I think Rogan would not, he didn't have to study tape or anything like that, but I think Rogan would literally look at a little production notes and shit and look at some fucking small little cue cards on who each fighter was, maybe their last couple of fights. Probably had a lot of that from memory and shit, like most of us do still, but he's losing that. You know, I mean, the dude has done a lot of fucking drugs, man. The guy's getting kind of old. It ain't like he don't just smoke weed either. Rogan does a lot of psychedelics, man. Like, you're going to start losing your faculties a tiny bit.
Look what he's doing the rest of his week, right? So he's doing what, three podcasts a week that are like 2.5, 3 hours long.
And
he's doing stand up work as well. I mean, he's involved.
And the guy's
spread thin, man.
He's worth like $50 million now, dude. Like, you're really
more than that.
This shit is like just a hobby to him that he likes to go and do every now and then. And you can tell that's exactly what it is. Like, the dude's worth so much money now. This is just like a little hobby to him that he gets to do every now and then, man. The only bad thing to me is, like, he'll stick around as long as he wants to, and you're going to – like, you lost Jimmy Smith over that. You probably lost one of the best play-by-play guys out there.
I don't
there.
Think Jimmy Smith was lost because of Rogan. You know, I think it's because they if they're like, well, if we're not going to have Rogan, we want these former fighters, and they've already –
Yeah, but if Rogan wasn't there, they could have one of the guys that isn't a fighter.
Yeah, they could have kept him, or they could have went out and got Will Locked. I mean, those guys probably want a little bit of money for their services, you know, and I'm sure Rogan is a decent little chunk on the books, you know. But, I mean, it ain't like these fighters are like upgrades over Rogan or anything. Like, Dom Cruz is horrible. People like Bisping, but I don't think Bisping's very good, man. Like,
he's got some charm, though, and he's good. He's got the look.
That's
and he's extremely well known in the MMA community.
They're just throwing shit against the wall and looking to see what sticks.
Part of it.
Bisping can't like break down an in-action fight very good. DC is very good at doing that, but his personality absolutely fucking sucks to most people. Like, he's a corny motherfucker.
I know he's corny, but he's well known. He's obviously a legend in the sport.
That's what's getting you fucking commentary jobs now. It ain't your actual, like, Felder should literally be, it should be Felder and Anik on every big call. Every fucking title fight pay-per-view, it should be Anik and Felder, period. Like,
it's weird to me that in MMA, and we've probably spent too much time on this, but MMA is the only sport currently where active athletes are doing commentary for the most part. I mean, I guess you see a little bit in boxing, but I mean, if you look at any other team sport, major sport, anything like that, you don't see that. Golf, I mean, you're not seeing active athletes consistently are in the booth on a regular basis. I mean, it's kind of insane. I mean, their first priority should be their fucking sport, as opposed to, like, you know, talking on a.
It helps them in their sport, though. Like, studying fights and watching fights up that close, like in boxing, Yeah, all the current boxers that do play-by-play on boxing, and especially on fighters in their division, is vast. And hell yeah, why not get ringside seats and break down?
That's true.
The money doesn't hurt either.
These
guys don't make tons of money, so they're fucking. It's a second job, man.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a second job.
That's terrible.
That's where we're going to, though. It's a second job, not a first job. That's why when you're getting a second job, you're getting a second rate performance. It's gonna be hard.
DC has parlayed his fucking shit into a contract with ESPN production and getting fucking his own shows and shit off of it. Dom Cruz, look what Kenny Florian made out of being on fucking calling some fights and then getting a Fox contract. I mean, look at the shit he pulled out of his ass.
What's Kenny doing now, though, Wes?
He's got some shit with Fox. I can't remember what it is.
Well, he still does the podcast with Anik. And he's got his own gym, I think, right?
Pretty sure.
He was just at a show recently. I saw him. I forgot. I forgot what fighter he was cornering.
He was, Ryan Hall.
Okay. Of course it is, right?
But, yeah. You know, all the way back around to Rogan, you're really going to have to start, you know, thinking about what he wants to do, man. Because it ain't like he's always bad like he was last week. But those times and fights are because it used to be like you say about Bisping. It used to be charming when Rogan would think every fucking sub was locked in. Now it's annoying when people are so involved in the sport and people can break it down themselves and they watch hours of tape to fucking make breakdown videos and bet on fights and everything else. And now it's just annoying when a guy's doing that constantly. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just
not great, Wes. It's not. It's not. But he's
you know, he's like part of the fabric of the UFC.
Yeah, he's synonymous
like,
with
like Ariane is, or like Buffer is, like they're or Herb Dean. I mean, they're not there, but like they're not. Some of them are.
Herb Dean's a great example.
Exactly. All the fans in Edmonton were cheering Herb Dean when he was announced as the main main event ref. I was like, fuck.
We did that shit 15 years ago, like on UFC pay-per-views 15 years ago. Herb Dean would be on a match like Herb Dean, like hell yeah, Herb's reffing. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got a good reffing shit. Like that's how they still feel about Herb Dean. And like, if you've watched him for the past decade, you should not be feeling
that
way.
That's the difference between casual fans and hardcores.
But think about it, Wes, even furthermore, Joe Rogan's influence or as an influencer for the UFC's core demographic. We're calling it 25 to 50 year old men. I'm going to say that's probably their core. He's as influential influential in that demographic as any person in the United States. I mean, look how popular just the podcast alone has multiple million of listens an episode. I mean, I'm sure that's part of the thinking of the UFC is like just having him talk about it.
Totally
on a
agree.
Regular basis. Yep. Totally.
Every once in a while, throwing a fighter on there.
MMA show. Doing fight companions. I mean,
well, he also has his JRE MMA show, which I think he had Aljamain Sterling on recently. He had Rico Verhoeven. Just different. I mean, that was just something he did. It was like, well, I want to do an extra show a week. I want it to be MMA centric. So he knows that there's probably folks that are like, I want an MMA fighter on all the time. He's like, well, I'm giving you one a week, and then the other shows I'm going to, interview some UFO guy or some some doctor on depression or some venture capitalist, like whatever. That's his thing. But his influence is vast, and it's important. And I think that's a big part of this whole thing. Yeah, there's a lot of factors here, but definitely something to keep an eye on, especially after this calendar year ends. And I'm sure he has a contract coming up at some point. Davis and Figueredo, Alexander Pantoja. I was wrong here. Wes was right.
No, Wes was very wrong.
I was right.
Knew Sean was right. I'll let you guys – I think we'll talk about this one. I'll let you guys talk. I'm going to grab a beer. You guys jump into this one, break this fight down.
Go ahead, Wes.
I guess since I was wrong. Figueredo looked good, man. I know he's had some decent wins before this one, but man, that was a really good performance coming off of that loss to Juicy. I thought that was kind of Pantoja's, kind of path, but Pantoja is probably just maybe a little tough for his own good. Wants to get into brawls and shit when that's just, he's not bad at it, but against a guy like Figueredo, that's just a much cleaner striker than he is. Like he can just get his stuff off so much better. It was just a bad game plan, man. Once I saw the first round, I knew I was in absolute trouble. But we'll see, man. I'm glad that they made a fight like this at 125. The UFC not knowing shit about what they're doing anymore, buried it on the fucking undercard for some reason, because it was a great, great fight for probably about as one side as it probably was. Figueredo handedly won. It was still a really good fight. And I just don't know how you bury this on the undercard like they did. And what did they, I can't remember what they led into the main, it was the Alexis Davis fight, right?
You're
that they
damn
led.
Right. Yep.
And I mean, you bury this kind of scrap on, I mean, what are you doing? I just, and not to mention that, We all knew this was going to be a decent fight. This is one of the top matchups you can make in that division. You know what I'm saying? Like
it was a top five. It was top five guys in the division.
Yeah. So if you're if you're keeping the division around it, like it looks like they're doing, you know what I'm saying? They're still making fights. They're signing more guys. Like they're going to keep the division around. Wouldn't you want to showcase it? Especially showcase it with a fight that pretty much everybody knew was going to be awesome on paper, and then it turned up being that awesome. I don't get what they're doing anymore, man. But yeah, Figueroa, I still like Pantoja, man. Pantoja is probably going to be a guy that I'm going to lose some more money on one time or another. But yeah, I like both those guys. That was an awesome fight.
They'd rather just put some shitty Canadians on as the preliminary card main event. It's stupid. As for the Figueiredo Pantoja fight, I said if either of them got to +120, I would take it. Luckily, Figueiredo was the one that got to +120. It was a good performance, but you still kind of saw the weaknesses in his game. It wasn't a very fast paced fight. I didn't think it was that very high of volume, and Figueiredo still kind of seemed to gas in the third. I thought that Pantoja was kind of getting close to taking the second round, and then he got clipped, and then that kind of ended that story. But both guys still really good. Figueiredo still flawed, but in certain matchups he's going to do well with that power and that striking. He can do well, and he showed pretty good takedown defense and a decent get up game when Pantoja did try to get him down.
For me, it was power. Just more power in Figueiredo's hands, and that makes a big difference. Quickly on these next couple fights, Gavin Tucker, third round decision over something called Sung Woo Choi. And Hakeem
Choke.
Yeah, rear naked choke.
He got
him late,
I believe, yeah.
Yep, third round. And then Hakeem Duwadu, head kick knockout against Yoshinori Hori.
There we go.
It was cool. Is Duwadu ever going to face anyone legitimate? Or are they just going to keep protecting him? Okay, no.
Tucker at that plus money at home against this guy was just absolutely laughable. And I appreciate it. I still think Tucker is kind of talented, man, and what I love, though, I love the fight IQ, and I love that this dude just hung on and fucking bear hugged this dude for 15 minutes till the end, till he got him, because that's what you want your money on. Well, we'll see. I mean, probably another great Canadian hope, but who knows. And Duwadu, they're going with the fucking they're going with the MVP strategy with him, I guess, because they're just feeding this guy cans. We'll see.
That's fair.
I thought that Choi had decent striking. Like, obviously, his takedown defense is trash, as is most kind of Asian guys.
He's long,
but
man.
He's long, and it seems sharp. Like, any time that he was tagging Tucker a little bit, it's just he couldn't keep it standing. Tucker, I think, is going to be fucked if he goes against anybody with decent takedown defense and some striking. Because he was getting lit up by an okay striker, and he defaulted to takedown, and if he doesn't get that, it could be a scary story. I wish Hori could have held on for another 51 seconds. I had that fight to go to decision, but it was definitely for the better. He was getting pieced up and getting beat up late in that third round, so nothing wrong with that. Duwadu definitely needs a step up.
Good body shots, so he should throw more of them. Yep. Viviani Arroyo, Alexis Davis. Arroyo keeps winning. I mean, these announcers got to stop talking about her gassing out like 90 seconds into a round, though. I mean, just because somebody's not throwing, just keeps throwing fast and fast, doesn't mean they're gassing out. I mean, it's just about just controlled. It's allowed to. Anyway.
Sharp jab. She had a really sharp jab. It was decent to see. You don't see that very often in women's fights.
Yeah, I thought she had really good footwork, too. Davis was trying to pretty much just hang on to her whenever she got close. And, yeah. I hear you, Jay. Like, I think we keep. I don't know. She was like a 2-1 favor, but yeah, I think she's still a little underestimated.
Fair enough. Main card: Jotko, Marc-Andre Barrial. This went to a split decision. This might have been the worst fight on the card.
It's fucking terrible.
Oof. Yeah.
Can we? Why are we putting Jotko on main cards anymore? I thought we learned our lesson.
Because he was fighting a fucking Canadian. But why, like...
What? There's all, everyone else is fighting a Canadian. Who cares? Except for Figueredo and Pantoja. Whatever.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Really bad.
It was terrible. Very bad.
Yeah, I mean...
-155 was terrible, too, though. Jocko, I mean, he was definitely the better guy.
Card? I mean, look, I get it, like... Maybe part of it's like, well, we'd rather have known fighters on the TV card, and then we'll put less known fighters on the main card. I don't know.
This was a bad card.
Yeah.
This was just a bad card.
Bad on paper and pretty bad in reality.
And it didn't get much better in the next fight. Consensus bet did not win again, unfortunately. It looks like we're on a win-one-lose thing. Armand Sarukian against Ohm, and I mean, Ohm was doing better in the striking. I thought he kept going for takedowns. Yep. That was
he did this to himself, bro.
Yeah,
like straight up, he could have won this fight. And Sean knows we fucking tweeted about it. He goes for some stupid ass trip fucking takedown.
Got reversed.
And the third round, and easily got reversed. And Sarukian laid on him for the rest of the round, and that was it. Yeah. I mean,
he's terrible off his back.
He can't get up. He doesn't threaten with anything. It's crazy.
As good as he can be on top of somebody, he is that bad on the bottom. That dude's got to learn how to fucking use a hook and fucking get up. But I think his hands did look, the dude looks like he improves in certain aspects, man. The other thing I'll say about that is like, MMA gamblers know jack shit. They know as much as fucking anybody.
Well, people who are taking Bioware certainly ain't giving you, technical analysis on offensive wrestling and defense.
Well, he said who he got that breakdown from or something. I don't know. It's like a guy with 200 followers or something on Twitter. Like, so.
I mean, doesn't mean it was wrong.
Regardless of the whatever advice that guy gave him, that was just a terrible fight IQ decision going for a takedown when he's winning the stand-up. Now, I don't know if he was tired or what the hell's going on, but you're winning the stand-up against this guy. Why are you trying to take him down? Like, I don't know if he was just like, okay, I'll take him down. I think he's tired now, and I'll sub him. I don't know. Stupid. Just, I know striking is not his, like, number one forte. It's wrestling and jujitsu, but you cannot do that, man. You had the advantage of the stand up. You could have
taken just, over, man.
You could have just jabbed your way through a fucking win. Instead, you go for a throw, land up on bottom, and you are fucked. That round is a write off because this guy has a decent top game.
Yep.
And, ugh,
he's decent.
That's a frustrating thing. I mean, I would take that plus 170, 175 again, because if it was tied up going into the third and we had the striking advantage and Sarukian wasn't really getting him down. So I'll take that shot again.
Yeah, I'd bet that line again tomorrow. And people should like Sarukian, but people should slow down. Like it was Twitter moment again, and motherfuckers are crowning Sarukian because he's 22 and this and that. Look, he's decent, but goddamn, we saw some flaws, man.
Big
like,
flaws.
Yep. Just slow down, you know.
That's fair. Let's move on because that's what we do.
Ooh, this was a hell of a fight. Oh,
hell
this
yeah.
was a way. This was.
This
a
was
woke me up.
This was probably the easiest decision in terms of figuring out. You know, just looking at this card, and you're looking like, is this fight going to be exciting? Is this fight going to be exciting? Everyone knew this fight was going to be exciting. It was super easy. When Jeff Neal fights, I'm sure both of these guys
Nico Price fight. Yeah. I mean,
Nico Price, chaos happens, and Jeff Neal throws the freaking dynamite. Jeff Neal, I don't think he's lost in the UFC, has he?
Nah, he's on a pretty good winning streak now, too. Is it like five or six fights? Something
he's
like
won
that.
Five in a row, four in a row with the UFC. One was a contender series fight. So, real crazy fight here. Nico Price had Jeff Neal hurt. Jeff Neal had Nico hurt. Jeff Neal's hurt again. Then Jeff Neal landed a huge bomb and then finished on the mat. He has got vicious ground and pound. He's got wins in the UFC over Brian Camozzi, Frank Camacho, Bilal Muhammad, which is his best win, and now Nico Price by TKO. Three finishes, one decision. He's 28 years old, turns 29 in August. He's pretty good. He's
I don't know how great his takedown defense. Not sure how good his takedown defense if he faces like an actual real wrestler. But, I mean, he could compete with a lot of guys. I'd love to see him fight Platinum Mike. I think that would be a banger.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Your guys' thoughts?
I like Jeff Neal, man. Like, I think I'm about... I think after that one, I'm about sold, man.
Are your shorts down to your ankles?
Oh, and that, I mean that fight on that finish, yeah. I mean the button popped, you know. Yeah, I mean what Jeff Neal mainly showed in that fight to me was heart. Like he hadn't really been put in some spots like that yet in the UFC. We knew he had all the skills. We knew he had the just massive punching power and shit. I mean, we all thought that Nico was going to turn this into a crazy fight to begin with. I don't think any of us thought Nico was going to have some of the success that he was going to have for that sustained a period of time. But he did in the fight, man. And he put Neil in spots, man. And Neil came through. That dude stayed in it. Like you said, he got hurt a couple times. You don't know about some of these guys until you see them in those spots. They can look good just freight training guys. Even though he had freight trained some pretty good dudes already, you just don't know how really good they are until they get put in those spots. And yeah, man, I'm impressed, dude. I've always been impressed with his skills. Now I know that he's got the heart and the will to stay in tough spots. I really like Jeff Neal going forward. And even on Nico Price, man, that guy's not great or anything, but I'll pay to watch Nico Price anytime. Like, keep that guy on the roster. You just know win or lose, you're gonna get absolute chaos with Nico Price. And I'm always down for that. And yeah, Neal Platinum Mike would just be some anybody against 2% Platinum Mike is just, it's going to be chaos. So.
Wes, is Platinum Mike growing on you? I feel like he might be.
I like the guy. I don't like some of the shit he does, but I mean, he's a character.
You can't take
him
seriously, though.
Well, I mean he's throwing the N-word around on Twitter Saturday night. So, I mean, I don't like that shit. I think that's racist shit, but like I do with Greg Hardy. I separate that shit from cage fights, and the guy's a character. There's other parts of him that's funny as hell. I like that shit. I don't like the racist shit.
He's in his own world, I feel.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely in his own world.
He's in a tough scrap next weekend against Luque. We'll see how that goes.
Oh yeah, hey, I forgot about that. He's gonna get pieced up next weekend.
That's the one in, where the fuck is it? It's Shevchenko Kamrush. Isn't that in Argentina? Is that some weird place?
Platinum Mike's going to South America? You mean he's going to be salsing with the local talent? Oh, here we go.
He's going to be down there with that full Indian headdress and face.
Oh, it's in Uruguay. That's where it is.
Can't wait.
Yeah, same spot. He'll be down there in that full fucking Indian headdress and fucking war paint.
Fine by me.
Nico Price still almost pulled that rabbit out of that hat, man. And... That guy just keeps doing it, but yeah. This time he wasn't able to follow through. But yeah, Jeff Neal, awesome to watch, big power. We'll see what he's got next, because he's damn good fun to watch.
Co-main event, Cyborg returns against Spencer. Remember when certain announcers thought Spencer was going to win this fight? And they actually thought it was a 5-round fight and not a 3-round fight midway through it?
And probably still would have scored it 20-15, Felicia Spencer.
Got to stay off that DMT, baby.
Yeah. I swear, people were like, y'all know they probably gave Rogan like some edibles. She was like, Rogan's always on edibles. Like, I swear.
Yeah, like, what do we, they had to give him edibles. Like, come on.
I think he was on some fucking shrooms or something, dude. I swear to God, I think he was on something good that night. That's what I think it was, man. Because especially, and by the time they got to the co-main, I think that motherfucker was tweaking.
If Joey was there, then there's no doubt. But who knows?
Yeah, I honestly, for this one, I think he was told to push the Felicia Spencer narrative. We know what this was Cyborg's last fight, and there's lots of tension between Cyborg and the UFC, and I think they might have edged, pushed Rogan in that direction to sell her hard, and that's what he did. Man, I'm pissed. I talked about maybe Cyborg by decision at plus 800 yesterday last week when we recorded the podcast, and I was just like, nah, she can't take that shit. Well, she can take that shit because Spencer, I don't know, she was able to take everything that Cyborg had and didn't fold. So
I want
to
hear Wes's opinion on this because I know I'm really curious to hear an unbiased, unabashed opinion of Felicia Spencer. Like, legitimately, what do you think of her as a fighter, honestly?
I mean,
outside of, like, people just outside of the betting odds, as a fighter
in that division, because those are two different things.
I don't know what division it is at this point.
At 145, I mean, there's
no one else.
I mean, you gotta like her, though, a little bit at 145.
A little bit? There's only three other fighters. I mean,
I mean... She probably loses to Nunez and fucking Cyborg and gives the rest of them a fight. You know what I'm saying? Because she took 15 minutes of Cyborg and hell, she just having Cyborg up against the cage and shit.
She was out for as long as Cyborg.
Yeah. I mean, she did some impressive stuff.
Punches really easily. Like
she was just out fucking gunned, man. You know? And like Sean said inside this, I even said last week, I was like, a lot of people like Cyborg inside the distance. I don't like that too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's kind of left chicks in the fight for a round and a half here lately. I didn't see it. Like, I thought it was going to still happen, but, that plus 800, I know I had to hurt John a little bit. What's funny is the video she put out today where she was talking
about a video.
No, Cyborg put out like a backstage video after the fight and pretty much was like telling Dana, was like, walked up, was like, you need to stop lying. He's like, you know, I text you and said, I want that rematch. And then you go out and tell everybody I'm scared. I don't want to fight her. And Dana pretty much looks at her. He's like, you can't believe what I'm out there saying stuff like that. You can't believe that's not even the truth. Like, Dana pretty much admitted to her, like,
yeah, he just lies to everyone else.
I just lie and bullshit. So don't believe anything that you see me say. He pretty much said that to her face. Like, I mean, I think we've all known that about Dana White for fucking years. And now he just comes out and just says it like, but I don't know, man. I don't know if they get that fight done, man. Our boy Aaron talking, man, they're burning their bridges fast with the UFC. I think she probably wants to be going. I think it's probably better for everybody. I mean, I would not mind seeing Cyborg go over to fucking Ryzen or One and fucking be head kicking motherfuckers and kneeing chicks on the ground and shit. I mean, that would be awesome. Also, I think Sean is a little right on the Rogan point, and I don't think like I saw people like going at our boy Capoza when he kind of talked about it, like, oh, Rogan's not gonna be like doing shit like that stuff. Like, why wouldn't Rogan? Like, Rogan is the ultimate company, man. Like, Jay, even you touched on it earlier. Like, he started a podcast and us. Like, they're good for each other. Like, they've made Rogan big. Like, he's big, and he gives them the publicity now after he's gotten this big. So absolutely, I think Rogan was out there pushing the Spencer narrative and stuff. Like, that's one of the only explanations for being that far off on a fight. But I think he did.
I also think he likes the underdog kind of story. Like, he's hoping, like, every time he's kind of out there, like, he's going to see like something historic is going to happen. Like, I think he's okay with that. Like, he's trying. Yeah. I mean, just like anything else, like, if there's some fighter who's, you know, like, considered like an immortal and they're giving them a fight, he's hoping like something crazy. Like, even with Thiago Santos, like, he was pushing that against John
Jones.
Jones fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of can see a history there.
The Cyborg like gassing narrative though, that he started literally minutes into the fight.
I hated that so much.
He's done that for a while though. That is actually something that he's done with, like, he used to like slobber over Cyborg. Like, oh, she's the baddest woman ever, but he always did like, oh, Cyborg, she gets tired. She's got to get these girls out of there early. She gets tired. She's got all those muscles. But he took that shit to a whole nother level. Literally minutes into the fight, he was like, she's looking tired. She's gassing. That's hit the worst call I've ever seen him have. By far, it's not even close. That's the worst call that dude's ever had.
Can't disagree. Yeah. We'll move on to the main event. Nushan, we'll start with you. Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway. Wish this fight took place 2 or 3 years ago, but it's cool to see two surefire Hall of Famers fight.
By order.
And all time, I mean, probably two of the top 20 fighters in the history of mixed martial arts. I think that's a fair statement, right?
I don't know.
You have to go there, Wes. It's very close.
I don't know about Frankie. He's close.
Oh, come on, Wes. He's won a title at two weight classes.
Yeah, it's close for me, man.
No, he didn't. Just one.
Yeah, he's only won.
He's fought four titles.
He was an interim champion at featherweight.
No, he wasn't.
I thought he was. I have to look back.
No, yeah, Frankie doesn't have a belt in two weight classes.
The only times he fought for the belt was against Aldo, and he lost both times.
Okay, fine. You're right. I mean, look at all the wins. Cub and Yair and Chad Mendez, Faber, Penn, Maynard, all these guys.
I get it.
But saying
top 20, there's
a lot of good fucking fighters.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's on that right there, I think. But I won't go as far as that guy lost a lot of big fights, man. There's a lot of guys that won a lot of big fights. He lost a lot of big fights, man. Not saying that he's not great. There's some people that I saw last week saying that he's not even great or anything.
Well, that's shameful. Would Frankie, your perception change if the judges correctly scored a certain fight of his against Ben Henderson?
Yeah, but he also won the BJ Penn fight and he shouldn't have. So yeah,
exactly.
We can play that game.
Well,
that game's been played with Frankie since that time. You know, I think most people that have watched it back then have said that same thing. Well, he didn't get this one. Yeah, but he got, that's kind of part of his career at this point, you know. Frankie's definitely, he's a great fighter.
Just the longevity factor is impressive.
He's still
extremely competitive after how many years doing this. It's hard. Yeah. There's very few guys that say that about.
And a dude that probably should have been at 145, maybe even 135 his entire career and did what he most of it at 155. That's impressive. Absolutely.
I mean, he's an MMA 3.0 fighter probably. And now we're at like the fifth generation of MMA at this point. So,
Frankie came around the tough boom. Like he was kind of right after it got really big after the first couple toughs. Yeah. That's when Frankie came around.
I mean, the only guy who's really kind of lasted, I mean, there's a few, but I mean, like, I would say like MMA 2.0, we were talking, I mean, it's probably like Anderson and Matt Hughes. I would say like probably even the start of GSP. That's like kind of that era. And then there was a little later, you know, the Aldos and Frankies, you know, a few other guys.
Cruises and
John
stuff.
John Jones started in a 3.0 era even. Obviously still competitive at this point. I would say the fifth generation of MMA, but where now you're seeing like legitimate athletes join the sport without even, you know, it's more athlete driven now than technical driven. I feel we're getting to that point, which is, you know, the evolution that we're going to have to go through. Nushan, any thoughts here on the main event?
The only thing that was surprising is I thought in the third round, Max was starting to really take over and get the ball rolling downhill. I thought it was kind of inevitable that he was going to finish Frankie in the fourth or maybe early in the fifth. But Frankie was able to rally a bit in the fourth and kind of slow that down. Yeah, there's not much more to say. Max, Mac looks six. He's like limping and stuff like that. There's just these stupid ass fucking narratives fights. He looks out of it. He's limping.
He looks sick.
Dusted Frankie.
What are these?
Get the fuck out of here, man. Everybody's just looking for something.
He's got a heart problem. What the fuck, man? Well, he's got concussion problems, you know? Like,
I don't know. People just read too much into everything and try to make things up. It's crazy. Max is just so good, so accurate. Anything that really hits him at this weight doesn't really affect him, which was good to see after kind of taking that beating from Poirier. I just kind of hope he stays at featherweight, unless, like, I think lightweight's too big for the game that he has. He doesn't have big power, and that's kind of what you need at lightweight. So I guess we're likely going to see the Volkanovski fight next, and that should be another doozy. Volkanovski is kind of a younger version of Frankie Edgar. We'll see what he has. He has a little bit more power, so it could be fun. But Max is very, very good, and that was obviously on display in this fight.
So that what sucks about that, though, is like I think Max still would do good at 155. Just not fighting former 170ers that hit like Mack trucks. You know what I'm saying? Because that was the problem. Like, Max was getting off against Dustin, but every time Dustin landed just a decent punch, he was hurting Max. But yeah, at 145, I think as far as like overall skill, I think he's the best 145er ever. Just overall, like, technical fighter and shit. But I don't know if you can still yet put him over career-wise Aldo yet, even though he beat him a couple times. You can make that argument, of course, because he's got the wins. But, man, I think what McGregor did at 145 was impressive, man. But to say McGregor is just hands down, no questions asked, the best 145er ever.
Nobody, the only people saying that are trolls, Wes. Don't let them.
No, there's a couple people that really believe that. There's a couple people.
You need to ignore those people. Get them out of your life.
There's guys paid money writing articles claiming that.
Yeah,
he's
but
the
they're also paying for. They get paid for by clicks, so that also helps.
Yeah, I got you.
Just mention McNutty's name there. That's what they're hoping for.
Yep. Max is he's insane. And last thing I'll say is, right now at this moment, they fight tomorrow, a month from now, whatever. Max is gonna tool Volkanovski, and I love Volkanovski. I think that guy is fucking great. But if you cannot if you can't consistently get Max down, which nobody can,
especially nobody
that
takedown defense.
Nobody
this
has.
Fight,
that
was insane.
His takedown defense before Frankie got that one kind of soft takedown and just held his legs for 30 seconds. Max had a 97% takedown defense before that take. Like, you don't get that guy down. And the few takedowns that guys have gotten off him, it's been that. It's him kind of touching the mat and getting right back up. Volkanovski cannot out-kickbox Max Holloway. I don't give a fuck what any of y'all motherfuckers think. And he's not going to fucking get Max down, in my opinion. And, I mean, Chad Mendez was dropping hammers on Volkanovski. Don't forget that. You know what I'm saying? So, I love Volkanovski, and that's a hell of a fight. I think it'll be really, really fun and competitive to a certain extent. But Max wins that fight easily.
Let's move on to this week's card. Good old Newark, New Jersey, Brick City, baby. Woo!
Jay, you know you're gonna go to this at noon, right?
I don't know if I can justify my time spent that way. I see some cards in Newark, and it's good sight lines, but it's not a great.
Bro.
Tickets better drop in price for Jay to show up.
What a travel we had. The travel we had to fucking get back from that card was just ridiculous, man. Like, train station just elbow to fucking elbow, and it was like...
Wes is not used to that. I get it.
not that fucking 3-hour transit to fucking get 10, 15 miles. You know what I'm saying? Hell no. Fuck that kind of shit.
I don't remember that well, but here we are. Okay.
We're pretty drunk. We drank all day. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not talking about either of these first two fights, but I'll let you guys talk about this. We got something called Miranda Granger taking on someone I think I've seen, Hannah Goldie. Wait, Goldie? He's back.
Hold up, is that?
No, they cannot be related.
His daughter? Different. His daughter fighting MMA?
We have a 2-0 fighter versus a 4-0 fighter starting this UFC card.
2 + 4 = 6, though.
Hannah Goldie actually beat Jillian Robertson back in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Moving up, we got Claudio Silva taking on a body named Cole Williams.
He's from Wisconsin. He's got that pumped up Midwest record.
He's got that Ben Rothwell-ism, you know, thing going on. I don't know.
Dude takes a shit in a fucking Packers cheesehead fucking hat comes out.
Oh, nothing wrong with that, I suppose.
Aye,
aye. It's better than on the ground. I'll leave it at that. We got third.
He's
fight.
35 years old. Like, why are they putting this guy in here?
They couldn't find anybody better.
Like, who the fuck is this guy? Like,
Mike Jackson in at least, or Charlie Ward.
It ain't like this shit's in Kansas City or something.
He's the fourth-ranked middleweight in Iowa.
That's is that hard with. To get people to come this to my guy, great New Jersey?
This
it
guy's,
should not be anymore.
This guy's Pat Miletich's fucking pool guy.
He's Pat Miletich probably taught him about, you know, how, you know, the world is just a simulation. And
Tower 7.
Jesus Christ.
That's what Pat likes. Anyway, let's carry on to, I think this is a fight. Lauren Murphy, oh great, taking on Mara Romero Barella. I guess, Wes, I think you have a side on this, maybe?
No, Rob, we were trying to talk you. We tried to talk you out of anything.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, fuck this fight.
Okay.
If the line gets closer to like -160, I'll take a shot at Barella because Lauren Murphy is a glorified punching bag.
She's like mom quit three times over.
I mean, there's no denying that.
It's bad. This is Lauren a bad Murphy, start to the card. These three fights are a fucking dumpster fire with two women's flyweight fights. Like, just don't even start watching until this next fight. Doesn't make sense.
It's a bad card.
Yeah, I got both these girls to see. This is going to be competitive. I think Murphy has a better motor, but we'll see. Again, I'm with these guys. I don't care enough to bet it. This should be good. Jordan Espinoza and Matt Schnell in the, I guess what we'll call the reignited flyweight division. Wes, start with you.
Yeah. This is one of the better fights on the card, probably as far as matchups go.
Not saying.
Yeah, look. Yeah, no doubt. It looks like with them keeping around the 125 division, Matt Schnell kind of came back down. I mean, he moved up to 135 last time and actually looked as good as he had in a couple years and taking out a friend of the MMA analysis, Luis Smoka. That was a pretty decent win. Yeah, I really liked him, man, before he even went on Tough. And I know he kind of, that Tough title season, he didn't do very well on there. And then a couple bad losses coming off the show. He's gone on a little bit of a run once he got active over the past year and a half or so. But, man, this is a tough fight, man. That Espinoza went against Eric Shelton last time out. That was, you know, pretty impressive. It wasn't like some blowout or anything, but I thought pretty highly of Eric Shelton going into that fight. And that was a pretty good win. But outside of that, Snell is just, man, he's got a ton of experience on this guy here. This guy's been fighting for a long time in some big spots. And Man, it's really, really close, but Schnell at like even money right now is definitely going to be the pick for me. I'd like to see plus 120 or so to make a bet, though. But it's a close fight, really good fight. I lean Schnell.
Nishan?
Don't have much to add. Espinoza looked all right against Shelton, but I don't know what to take from that. And Schnell has looked decent against the three guys he's won in a row against, but it's hard to take too much away from that. I think it's going to be a stand-up fight. It's probably going to be close. The odds are probably right. I'll pick Espinoza, but no bet.
This is I got Espinoza C minus, Schnell a D plus. I mean, this is pretty straightforward. Schnell certainly the more technical, more MMA skilled fighter. Espinoza better athlete, more raw, more potential. At this stage, I think Espinoza is on a pretty good trajectory up. I think he's actually a little underrated, I think, compared to most. I think this is a good barometer to see where he's at. So for me, this is a watch and learn type of fight, where I'm particularly looking at Espinoza as the guy. If he does pretty well here, he's a guy I think can make some money on his next 3-4 fights. All right, moving on up, we got I think there's been some buy orders and it's not breaking news, but there's certainly some buy orders have been put in on Putilova, you know, as you know, the wise guys have really entered into this market and dropped
sharp money.
Shevchenko down from a round of minus 200 favorite down to minus 160 something.
140.
Right? 140. 135. Now. Yeah, that's really coming down. They really trust those, you know,
those sharps.
Those are some heavy buy orders, apparently. Okay, Wes, are you going to be following the money, or are you going to fade the money?
All you need to know in this fight is that chiclet mouth motherfucker is on Lucy, so minus 135, taking the shitty Shevchenko.
Fading the buy orders. Okay, Nushon.
Yeah, I'd bet Shevchenko at minus 140 even before that that fucking fraud came out with that stuff. but I just like the matchup here. I know Shevchenko, that was a pretty disappointing loss as a big fave against Modafari, but that was a complete different matchup. Putilova's not going to go for takedowns. This is going to be a straight-up kickboxing match, and I favor Shevchenko pretty heavily in that. Shevchenko is just a much better kickboxer. I already got a unit on her at minus 140, like I said, and I'm probably going to add some more now that it's dropped to like minus 130. So yeah, all in on Shevchenko. Let's see what the chiclet got.
Chiclet. Okay. That's fine. Shit. I got both fighters a C. I think this is pretty interesting. Shevchenko definitely the better striker, more technical. Putilova is pretty good size to the weight class, pretty physical. Shevchenko had some issues with that in a previous fight. I think it's clearly a hole in her game that she needs to improve on, and I'm pretty confident she has. I mean, just training with an all-world fighter, that's going to help. You know, learning from her, that's something she's going to have to do. I lean towards Shevchenko, but not enough of an edge to make a bet. We got Mickey Gall. I can't believe he's back, taking on something called Salim Touré.
Oh, man. You
got me on the Touré.
I have no clue how this cat just keeps getting fights.
It's pretty crazy.
God, we will always have fucking them fucking giving us fucking Diego against this motherfucker at plus money. That was was good times. Yeah, look, Mickey Gall is just, he's not very good, man. The
I used the word terrible.
Yeah, it applies, man. look, I know people say, well, he's on the mat. If he gets it to the mat, like, is he really that good on the mat though? Like, I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? Like, Diego Sanchez was laying on top of him, just beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, if he can get on top, maybe. But if he's on the bottom, he is fucked.
And if that's where this is probably going to be mostly a kickboxing match, and this isn't George Sullivan, this isn't Sage Northcutt or fucking CM Punk. I don't get this line, man. Honestly. I'm fading Gall here hard. This is probably one of my favorite spots on kind of a really, really shallow betting card. So yeah, give me that fade on Gall here.
Okay, Nushon.
All right, these are Mickey Gall's UFC wins. Mike Jackson, who is an MMA reporter. CM Punk, 37-year-old wrestler. Sage Northcutt. And George Sullivan. Nice. That is his wins. That is terrible. He is fairly lost on the feet. If he can get you down and get on top, then he's got a chance. But if not, then he's kind of screwed. In this fight, I think Tuari is going to be able to sprawl and brawl. And that's going to be bad news for Mickey Gall. Tuari, his takedown defense stood up against Nakamura. It was a somewhat close fight. You know, obviously Nakamura edged him, but I just think on the feet, Tuari has a big, big advantage, and that's where this fight is going to take place. I put a unit on Tuari at -125. I might add more. I'm also looking at possibly my TKO at +275 because we know Mickey Gall gasses.
Yeah,
does not go his way, he seems to crumble. So it could definitely be a small play for me there as well.
Yeah, that's some good points there. I got Gall at -, Tuari at D. I think Nushon nailed it. Mickey Gall is passable, more than passable. He's pretty decent from top control, finding back, going for rear naked. Kind of like Michael Chiesa a little bit in that regard, that he's really always seeking that out. And if he gets your back, he's going to be fairly successful. But he's not nearly as big for the weight class. Oh, I shouldn't say he's not nearly as big. He's not nearly as adept at securing takedowns. And he's going to really struggle if he can't get the fight to the ground. He's a novice at best on the feet. I think Tuari is going to be able to do that. And he's going to be in big trouble here, Mickey Gall, fighting an actual fighter when he hasn't had the. I mean, his two most notable wins are Sage Northcutt and CM Punk. I mean, like, come on, like, let's be real here. Now he's facing guys that actually want to do this for a career and aren't just moonlighting for, you know, some other nonsense. So I'll take Tuari as well, and I'm going to bet it. We're going to have Tuari as our MMA analysis consensus bet of the week. We are fading Mickey Gall. Woo!
Let's go.
We're gonna get a win here.
Get back on.
Sean, give us the odds, please. Drum roll.
You got anywhere from -118 up to -125, anywhere in that range.
Sounds like free money, if you ask me.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's move up. We got main card time. We got Darko Stosic in the light heavyweight division taking on Kenny Nunchuk.
Come on, man.
Oh, come on. All right, Wes.
Come on. Start off.
What are you gonna take? A Sai or a Nunchuk in this fight?
Look, man. Look. Our boy Kenny Nunchuk might. That motherfucker might have the fight IQ of a fucking used urinal cake.
Kenny Numbnuts.
Man, look. The hog size difference in this fight is just gonna be massive. I don't think much of a Stosic, man, but man, if I hadn't seen what I had seen last time out of Kenny Nunchuk, I'd be on this dude massively here. I think he's a better fighter, but god damn, he does dumb shit, man. Getting taken out by Paul Craig like that. Paul Craig's done that to a couple other guys. I mean, I will say that, and we watched how we watched how Ankalaev came back after doing kind of the same kind of dumb shit that Kenny Nunchuk did. We knew he was a good fighter that just kind of fucked up, and he proved it next time out. I don't think that Kenny Nunchuk is Ankalaev good or anything. I think he's the better fighter here, though, man. Dude hits like a truck. If he connects on Stolzik one good time, dude, he's in trouble. But, man, the plus money is kind of what is making me go back and forth here. But I'm going to pick Kenny Nunchuk. I haven't bet it, man. If the line creeps up at all, I'll sprinkle something on it. But I just think he's the better guy here. He's just, man, fight IQ means that we talk about it all the time. Fight IQ means so much in these fights now. And I'm not sure that dude is on. He's probably on the spectrum when it comes to fight IQ.
Yeah. Okay. Some more good points. Nushan, take it away.
This fight just screams pass.
Yeah.
Fair game.
Like,
Better than any fighter. His nickname is Kenny Nunchuk.
he fights out of Fortis, and they've actually been doing really great. Well.
Yep.
Like recently, they have a good head coach, but like, I cannot get past what he did to Paul Craig. I will never forgive him for that. He's got to do a lot of shit, and I mean, this is still light heavyweights. You can land like. Guys have big power. They can land shit. It's just stay away from me. I definitely am going to pick Kenny Nunchucks, but no way I'm putting money on him.
Yeah, this is ugly. I got Nunchucks a D-, Stosic a D. I don't think Nunchucks has any power at all. I think he might have the least amount of power of anybody in the light heavyweight division. I mean, it's a pretty bold statement, but it's true. He's physically... From a size and stature standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of potential there just based on raw. But
he hit KO a guy on Contender Series before the Craig fight.
Not this guy, though, but okay, let's see it. Prove me wrong, Nunchucks. I'll take Stosic to win, but neither of these guys are going anywhere. So for the bet, for me, is a pass. We got Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman taking on Dong Yang Miao.
Yeah, this is the shitty dong.
Little dong, shitty dong.
Oh, yeah.
Holtzman should roll, but if you're laying -450 on Scott Holtzman, you probably shouldn't do this anymore.
That's fine. Okay.
That's all you need?
I guess.
I mean, this is hard to see the shitty dong winning. Holtzman's never been finished. Little dong seems to just kind of go all out and leave it in there. So he could blitz early. Holtzman could survive, and then he's probably going to die of exhaustion, and Holtzman will just pound him out. I don't really see any angles myself in this fight. It's just a pass. Holtzman should win. He better win because this guy is not very good.
Okay. I don't know if we want to really talk about this fight. I got D+ for Holtzman, Ma D-. I mean, these are the kind of guys Holtzman beats. Like, he just does. I mean, he's pretty strong for this division. He's gotten better with his striking. And, I mean, Ma coming over to the U.S. for this fight, I mean, I think this just sets up well for him. I mean, there's a reason why he's a big favorite. And he's a guy crushing his cans, right? So we'll take the can crusher. This should be a better fight, at least on paper. We got Meerkat, Gerald Meerschaert, taking on Trevin Giles. Wes, let's hear it.
Well, sadly, some buy orders came in on this fight and just absolutely ruined my day when I saw it.
Steam it out.
Man, look, I really like Giles coming into this fight. I missed the opener at -125. I probably would have got as much as I could on that. I'm glad I didn't. I just don't know what to make of this fight now because I'm just second guessing everything because that Greek chiclet motherfucker has got a bow order on Giles here, and me personally, I think he's the much better fighter, man. I don't think much of Amir Khad. I mean, he's a tough dude that kind of stays in fights, man. But man, Giles is just, I think, so much better everywhere. I've liked him since he got to the UFC. I know he lost to Zach Cummings last time out. That was kind of a quick guillotine, and I think Zach Cummings is actually pretty good. I think Zach Cummings is a much better fighter than fucking than Muskrat is. I really liked a parlay on this card with Giles, and I'm probably still gonna make it, but it's gonna be nowhere near the size wager that it was gonna be before I saw fucking Fade the Greek on him. I'm gonna have a hard time even typing in the password on that bet now. I really like Giles. I think this line is just completely off, man. But like I said, so much second guessing now. That guy's so cold, man. He's been level running an MMA bet at right now, man. It's hard to be on any side of that guy, and that's no bullshit, man. When we see this shit all the time, dude. When guys are that bad, they just start mushing fucking everything. So, yeah, I like Giles. He's gonna be the pick, man. But fuck you, you fucking chiclet mouth motherfucker.
You've heard it here first. # fade the Greek. Whew, new Sean. After that, I don't know how you're gonna be able to talk.
I don't have too much. I agree. I feel like Trevin Giles is the better fighter. Meerkat does have the old submission that he can pull out every once in a while, but Giles has pretty good takedown defense. I don't really see that happening unless somehow Giles gets tired or somehow gets clipped on the feet, but I think Giles will probably win and probably finish him likely in the second round, but I really don't want to touch it. The Greeks got the bad juju on old Trevin Giles, so I might just pass.
Yeah, he does have bad juju. I got Giles a C-, Mearshar a D+. Giles' athleticism is too strong here. I think he stuffs enough takedowns from Mearshar. Even though he's shorter than Meerkat, he's just way more athletic, way more power. He's improving too. I think he'll eventually, be a real player in this weight class, but he's got enough talent that he's going to move up and maybe even, I can see him being a top 15 guy. I think that's certainly in his wheelhouse. So Giles will take this win and get the W. Not a bet yet, but I'm monitoring this if it comes down further. Don't know though, since all the buy orders are coming.
Yep.
Yeah. We got Joaquin Silva taking on, I think he's friend of the MMA Analysis podcast, Nasrat Haqparast.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty decent matchup, I think. I think Haqparast should win this fight, man. He's got some really good wrestling, man. Can control fights quite a bit, but man, Silva's a tough out, man. That was a pretty good win over Jared Gordon last time out. I do favor Haqparast in this spot, I'm just not sure that Silva should be a 2-1 dog in this spot, man. And that's kind of screaming my name. I haven't bet it yet. I'm probably going to take a little bit of that line on Silva. I think Haqparast wins this more times than not by using this wrestling against Silva. But man, he's got a little bit of pop, man. And I think if he can lay something on Haqparast early and get some respect, that this fight could get a little wild. So 2-1, I might take a shot. Silva's going to be the pick in Topmaster.
New Sean.
I'm on the other side. I like Haqparast quite a bit. Silva was losing that fight. He was pretty gassed out before he was able to clip Jared Gordon there. fight before that, he lost to the old Vink Pickle. Like, this guy, I don't think is that good. And I think Hackparast is going to be able to. I think Hackparast is going to be able to push him.
Pickle actually not looking bad lately, though, right?
Yeah, but at the time, he wasn't looking good. I just think Hackparast is going to be able to get Silva down. He's going to be able to tire him out, and he's just going to overwhelm him here. I think Hackparast is going to pound him out probably in the second, maybe early in the third, with Silva being just too tired after getting forced to wrestle. I put Hackparast in the open parlay I had with Max from last week, and I got minus 122. I got just over a unit and a half on that. I like Hackparast here.
You're probably right.
I got Hackparast a C-. I got Joaquin Silva a C-. I like both these. I mean, I think both these guys are pretty good. Hackparast may not be a finisher, but he's just a brutal guy to deal with. Silva probably a better striker overall on the feet, but Hackparast is just tenacity and power at this division from a grappling standpoint. It's tough to deal with. I think he does enough to get the victory over Silva, but he'll get challenged in this fight, and that'll probably be good moving forward for his career. Co-main event, we got Clint Guida taking on Jimmy Miller, and you know, kind of a throwback fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has this happened before? I feel like it had to.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's a UFC main event and fucking 20 or a co-main event in 2019.
Hell yeah.
We are.
Yeah, I'll keep my shit short. I like the guy that I think is a tiny bit less shop-worn. Well, I don't even want to say that. A guy that has recently not looked as bad since he got some medical stuff taken care of. And Clay Guida, he likes to dance around and do a lot of nothing. I think Jim Miller can do just a little bit of enough to win rounds here and get a decision over Clay Guida. I like Jim Miller.
Okay. All right, Nushan.
I don't like Jim Miller as much as Wes. I think I still got to side with him, but he has looked a lot better since getting the Lyme disease figured out. But I also don't know what his gas tank is like, because the times he has won, it was 2 minutes of a fight. What happens if that doesn't happen? And I don't think he's going to be able to finish Clay Guida in a minute or two, and then it might get a little more interesting. Guida didn't look great against BJ Penn. I mean, Penn took a round off him in 2019. That's a pretty terrible look. So I definitely can't back Guida in this situation either. But I did like Go's decision. I got a half a unit on it at minus 140. I just think these guys are both too tough, and Guida's not going to get subbed, so it's probably just going to get sloppy, and it's going to go the distance. And I'll pick Miller to win a close decision.
Okay. Okay. I got Clay Guida C-, Jim Miller C. I just think Jim Miller's a different fighter since they figured out the Lyme disease component disease. You know, issue that he had, which was slowing him down, didn't have the energy. He's just a different fighter since then. His striking's way better. He's got more endurance, and just he's a more well-rounded fighter than Clay. Clay, as we've seen in his, you know, last fight, I mean, he made it competitive with BJ Penn. Okay, that's tough. So if this assuming this stays standing for a long period, I mean, it's a huge advantage for Jim Miller. It's not even close. And on the ground, Miller can threaten with submissions as well, but the striking is just a huge difference. So unless Guida goes for takedowns and just holds him down for 15 minutes, he's not winning this fight. So I'll take Jimmy Miller to win this bout. It's close to it's a little, like, probably about 20 cents more than I'd like to play, but I'm watching it, watching the line. Main events. And that's why everybody's here to watch this card. It's Colby, the gimmick Covington, taking on Bob Lawler. Wes, take us through this main event.
This is gonna hurt. this one's gonna hurt, man. I absolutely fucking can't stand Colby Covington. I never got the gimmick. It's starting to fade now for everybody. And now I'm like, see, it wasn't that great to begin with. Watching him show up with at the press conference earlier tonight with four, you know, obviously paid fucking models. You know what I'm saying? That he's, you know,
they look probably terrified to be there.
Yeah.
But he does.
You know, when I tweeted, I was like, that showed this one just like that's the face of a professional model that hasn't had the check clear yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, him spending his Reebok money before he's even fought this fight is not smart business, Kobe. But as far as the fight goes, I bet Robbie against Askren just because I thought there was some slight path for Robbie in that fight. I don't see it here, man. Kobe is way better than Ben Askren at this point. Kobe's a really good fighter, man. I think he's gonna wrestle Lawler as much as he wants, man. Takedowns are gonna come fucking fast. They're gonna come often. And he's gonna get Robbie down, man. It's gonna happen. I hate to say it, but I see that fight going exactly like that. I think this is gonna be a pretty easy win for Kobe. I will love to lose money and Robbie just completely starts this motherfucker like Jorge did Ben not too long ago. Almost like fucking Lawler did Ben when he dropped him on his neck. But yeah, I hope that's how it goes, but I cannot see it, man. This is going to be a fairly easy win for Covington, and the dude still won't have a real belt. He'll still be walking around with his fake trinket belt that he likes to carry around like fucking Tim Sylvia and look like the biggest fucking douche on the planet. I would almost bet that Kobe Covington has a fucking 3-inch cock, fucking rock hard, straight up. No man with anything over 3 inches would walk around with a fucking championship belt. Like straight.
There's a reason why this is the king. This is the Hognalysis podcast.
Yeah, that's almost a guarantee there. And you know, past this, Kobe's in line, man, for, you know, one of the top guys. But I'm telling you now, Usman absolutely wrecks Kobe Covington. And I've been saying that for a while. I believe that shit even more now after watching Usman just completely wreck Tyrone Woodley. He'll do that same shit to Kobe, in my opinion. But Kobe's going to get an easy win here, and he'll have something to run around and bitch about and try to get a fight. And it'd be fun to watch Usman fucking play with him and be like, beg me, get on your knees and beg me, you little shitbag. And when they do happen to fight, I think Usman's going to cave his fucking his skull in.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
I haven't played anything this fight yet. Obviously, I think if Robbie doesn't pull a Masvidal or a round one early versus Askren, I think he is gonna get wrestle fucked. We've seen much lesser wrestlers able to take down Lawler in Rory McDonald and some other guys. Like, that's worrisome. Really, Colby, the only thing he's got to worry about is the start, the first 10, 30, 1 minute of the round before he gets it down. I'm likely going to have to put Colby in an open parlay. You could probably hedge with Robbie inside the distance because I don't think there's a way for Robbie to somehow eke out three rounds. Mm-hmm. I think if he's going to win, he's going to knock him out. But seeing as that's only like plus 350, I think I don't really like it that much. It's actually plus 285. So yeah, I think Colby's just going to be able to wrestle him to death. I don't know if he's going to be able to finish him. It's pretty much even money for it to go to decision / doesn't go to decision. That would be surprising, but I don't know what Robbie looks like when he gets wrestled for 4 rounds, 5 rounds. He could be done. So, I mean, I guess that wouldn't be the most surprising thing for Covington just to get a TKO win against Robbie Lawler. That would be terrible. But yeah, Covington probably going to be the bet.
I got Covington at A, Bob Lawler B plus. Everything in my head just seems to like put Dos Anjos in the Covington category in terms of the endurance and just the constant, you know, push and tenacity. That's just tough for Lawler, who's kind of struggled with guys like that, cardio guys in the past. That's certainly one thing Covington is going for him. Outside of one of the better, you know, I should say even better, it's a top 10 wrestling game in MMA, is he's got a really good motor, and it's going to be tough for Bob to get the win. It's a little different fight than Askren, who clearly has some chin deficiencies, despite being a tremendous wrestler.
And just sloppy shots.
He's not as little smarter.
He sets him up a lot better.
Yep.
He's
nearly not as good of an athlete as Covington either. So
not even close. Yeah.
So and let's be candid. I mean, Askren end up getting the submission anyway. So I mean, this is. Just, I know, but it wasn't looking good for Bob in my opinion. Either way, so I mean, Covington doesn't get hit early. I think he wins this fight kind of going away. I mean, there's probably a live betting scenario too, where if Covington survives the first 3 minutes, I mean, he wins this fight going away. So, that's the way I look at it. That does it for this week's show. I think we had a good time. It'll be fascinating to see, how Wes does going against, versus the buy orders. That's going to be an angle we're going to have to analyze and evaluate as, you know, time continues to push on. But we'll see. Good stuff. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week.